Welcome to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. As we celebrate Folk Festival Week with live musicians here in our studio, how exciting that is. And we have with us now Caitlin Warbelow, and she's originally from Fairbanks, but she's here to play us in. And then after that, we'll be hearing from Jake Blunt and his band. They're the headliners for the Folk Festival. But first, let's hear a little music from Caitlin. Wonderful. So great to have you here. I'm also joined today with Sherry Patterson, who is from the Black Awareness Association of Juneau. She is going to help me co-host today because we know she has a great love of gospel music and music in general. And what better person than to have us talk to the musicians today. But Caitlin, you just got off the plane.
Yes, I literally just got off the plane, and I didn't even get my bags. My friends are picking up my bags. I just came straight to the radio station.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So, Caitlin, you flew in from New York, right?
Yes.
But we know the Warbelow family from Fairbanks and the aviation industry.
Yes, that's correct. I grew up born and raised in Fairbanks.
And yet you have a career playing violin on Broadway?
Yes. For a couple of years now, I have been in the Broadway show Come From Away. That was closed for a year and a half because of the pandemic, but it's reopened now. And we're trying to make life go on in New York, so we'll see how it goes.
Well, you know, a lot of the people that Sherry brings up to her Black History Month gospel workshop and concert are from Harlem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just so struck by the rich music there.
Yeah. Yeah. We're happy that you're here, Caitlin.
Yes.
And like she said, from New York, there's a lot of richness that comes from there. And we're just so glad that you're here today.
Absolutely. There's so many great musicians there. Oh, well, yeah, this is my favorite place to be for the Folk Festival Week. But there's tons of good musicians in New York, including a lot of Alaskans, actually.
Yes.
And people who come up to Alaska for festivals. So mm-hmm. Small world.
So you are here to perform. But before we talk about that, I want to talk about last year. Mm-hmm. Because basically you and your business supply tunes.
Tune supply.
Yeah, exactly. I knew I was going to get that
That's
wrong.
Right.
I get it backwards. But you and your business kind of helped save the Folk Festival last year by helping them put together a virtual concert. So can you tell us a little bit about your business?
Sure. So the business is called Tune Supply, and the short story of it is the day that our Broadway show closed, which was March 12th, 2020. It's burned into all of our memories.
I believe so.
we knew something was going to be, you know, going down, but we didn't know exactly when. And I left the theater on March 11th, and my dressing roommate said to me, "This is going to be our last show." And I said, "No, I'm sure we'll have at least another week." Sure enough, at about 5 p.m. the next day, we got an email saying, "Come to the theater, get your stuff. We're locking it up at 7, and we don't know when we're back." So we raced up. My violins were up there. I got the violins, got home. I was kind of like pacing around the house, not knowing what to do. And I thought, I have to do something to help specifically the traditional Irish musicians, because March 17th is the big day where we make a lot of our money because of St. Patrick's Day. And, you know, Broadway musicians have some protections, but trad musicians generally have no safety net. And I thought, I have to do something for my friends and colleagues. So within 24 hours, my partner, Chris Ranney, and I had set up a website to sell performances online. $30 for a 5-minute customized performance, and it went on from there. I won't go into all the details, but it grew greatly. We started doing production work, online broadcasts, and things like that. And by the by the end of the pandemic, I don't know if I can say end of the pandemic yet, but around a couple months ago when Broadway reopened, we had paid out about $200,000 to trad musicians for doing work online during the time when there was no work.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's Tunes of Play. And maybe I'll just say briefly why we got involved with the festival. I've been coming to the festival since I was 11. I feel like I got trained to be a trad musician here at the festivals.
You've been coming to this festival since you were 11?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And the first year my mom let me go to Juno with a friend, an adult friend, who was in my band, which sounds so strange now to say that because I was 11 and I was in a band with a couple other adults playing Irish music. And they were all amazing people and they were mentors and brought me down here. And I've come almost every year since then. And it is my favorite week of the year.
Wow. You know, yesterday on the show, we were reminiscing about the early days of the festival. But kind of the consensus is that this is really like no other festival. Why do you think that is? Why does everybody say that, aside from the fact that you can hear great music there?
I've thought a lot about that over the years, and I'm not sure I could put my finger on it, but I think some things are everybody is right here downtown, and it's all walkable. I've been to a lot of festivals where you have to drive or people are in disparate locations, and it's something about being within a kilometer of everybody else is important. The variety of things that are happening, the dances, the teaching, the concerts, the late night stuff. You can come here and just go to Centennial Hall and have a great festival. Or you can come here and just go to the bars and sleep in until 4 p.m., you know, and have a great festival. Or you can do it all. It's just got something for everyone. Of course, Alaskans are the best at doing these sorts of things. I know because I went away and I've been to many festivals, and this one's just, you know, the most welcoming. And then I think the natural beauty of the place, I really think that's part of it. You walk outside and you see the mountains and the ocean, and I don't know, it just all comes together.
Well, welcome back to Juno. And I understand that fiddlers are in for a treat because you're going to do a workshop tomorrow.
Yes. I wasn't planning to do this, but a few weeks ago I was like, maybe I should do a workshop. So I wrote to I think it was Miguel, and he said, yeah. So it's at, if I'm not mistaken, people should check this, but I think it's at 12 o'clock actually on Saturday, not tomorrow. And it will be at Centennial Hall, and we're going to just do some Irish fiddle music. I'm going to see who shows up before we decide what to do, because I'm not sure who's going to come. But we'll probably learn a tune and some, you know, Irish ornaments and things like that.
Wow. So check your schedule for that and circle that, fiddlers, and let other fiddlers know, because I'm sure that people will want to have a chance to learn from you and hear some of your stories about what it's like to play fiddle on Broadway.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about is, since you started here very young, how did the festival help in your development as a musician?
It would be hard for me to even put that into one sentence, because it meant so much to me. When I started coming, of course, I was not going out to the bars and playing, not at least at age 11. I think I was like 14 or 15, don't tell anybody, when I started going to the sessions. And it was there that I saw how the music is transmitted, right? Because I played classical music since I was 3, and that happens in concert halls and lessons and master classes. It's very formal. And here I saw people sitting down in a circle with no music and playing to each other and learning by ear, picking it up, learning the rules. I mean, there's no rules. I'm doing air quotes here. But there are guidelines, and everybody just kind of morphing to fit the rules. And I thought, this is the type of music I want to play, because it feels like we're directly connected, right, instead of having the sheet music between us. And off I went. I went with that.
I'm just kind of curious what you think about the choice of this year's headliner, Jake Blunt, who is an African-American musician who has studied kind of something that I don't think people are aware of, is that there is a bluegrass connection to African-American music.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm not an expert, and I won't pretend to be, but I work for the Irish Arts Center in New York, and they often do concerts and events celebrating the connections between African American music and Irish music as well, because there are all these connections between the trad tunes that came over from Ireland, and then they came to America, and they got mixed up in lots of different traditions, and plus the tunes that were being brought over from Africa. And I think it's all very similar at the core, you know, especially the learning directly from people and the communities that are formed. And I think it's great that Juno is going to get to hear Jake's music.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Caitlin, for zipping right from the airport to talk to us. And also just thank you for all you did last year to help the festival continue on its wonderful tradition with a virtual festival. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure, and I feel like I owed it to the community. So thank you very much.
So one more favor to ask of you is, will you play a tune, and we'll say goodbye for now?
Sure. Let me think of something on the fly here. Maybe I'll play a tune called Mountain Road. When I was flying in here, I was looking at the beautiful mountains. So Mountain Road.